No, you're kind of far away.
Okay. Good afternoon. It's 1 o'clock. This is our monthly discussion session, August the 12th. We are being audio recorded. And for the record, happy birthday, Ms. Stacy. Well, I guess we can get started. Mr. McCain isn't here. We'll come back to him for his items. And I'm next on the list. And you have in front of you information from the Sebastian Chamber of Commerce. And the reason it's on there is we do not belong to the Sebastian Chamber of Commerce, even though they were huge support for us during the bond referendum. Or during, not the bond referendum, the referendum
millage.
That we had. Yes, the millage. And they came up with a position, and they put it in their newsletter, they put it on, they were very supportive. And I only know this, that we're not a member, because I called them about something else, and they said, well, you have to be a member. And I said, well, I'm a member under the school board. And they said, the school board, the school district is not a member. And I said, okay, thank you very much. So Ms. Stang contacted them, and they did bring some little pamphlets. I think it's strictly an oversight. In 2006, when Ms. Disney and I came on the board, we were not members of either the Indian River or the Sebastian Chamber, and we felt it was very important to have that link. And for some reason, I assume Ms. Disney also thought that we were members of the Sebastian Chamber, certainly for where she is, but because we do, all of us are, it's important for all of us to be part of the entire community. So I'm bringing this forward. It is $180, but they came forward with all of these all of this information for you if you need that. I thought we would have a discussion on that, and maybe a discussion in general moving forward with the Vero Beach Indian River County Chamber of Commerce, because I think that's something that has certainly been beneficial for us. We've had issues, and we have had the support of leadership in both of those areas. So, board comments, direction.
I think it's a great idea, and I would move that, and I would say that we should participate in both.
Agree.
And I do believe it's $180. Is that correct? It's $180. So, Dr. Adams, I think you have consensus to move forward with that, and to make certain that
absolutely.
That, I don't know if we have an official check it out, but we would be appreciated. Mr. McCain, you were actually first today, and so I went ahead and jumped ahead of you.
All right.
So what do you have, sir?
Nothing.
Nothing at this time?
Ms. Except Disney. I went and ate lunch at I. Jaluska's, and now I'm ready to nap.
No nap. Ms. Disney?
Yes. Last spring, I had brought up the idea that we should have some form of posting for teachers for the supplies that they needed, and nothing's gone through with that, but you know, as the school year has started, and I run into different teachers around the community, and you know, I'll say, well, what do you need? And they'll tell me, but I'm one person, and there are a lot of people out in the community that would like to help and are willing to donate materials and supplies. The deli over here on Aviation just told me he donated $1,000 in the backpacks and school supplies. He had trouble figuring out who to give them to. Mm-hmm. So I think that if we had on our website a community supply list, you know, where teachers could post what the needs for their classrooms are, and the community could look at that, and if they see, oh, you know, this school has 4 kids that need backpacks and 10 kids that need notebooks, the community may step forward and help out with that. So I wouldn't recommend taking it on an individual basis, but on by teacher basis, by classroom basis, they can post what they desire. And perhaps some of these needs can be met without the teachers paying for so much out of their pocket above and beyond the teacher rating. Mm-hmm.
So are you thinking about a school and then a teacher? Or just
by school, by teacher, each school
have on their website.
On their website, what their
where they might even have third grade or second grade. They might even do it by grade level, because they probably have common. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great idea, because there's always that demand, and we don't want teachers to have to take out of their own pockets constantly. I would just want to make sure that we avoid duplication, because in some schools, when they do orientation, they have the little trees with the apples, and the supplies that they want. And it would almost be like having that electronically, mm-hmm. so that it's accessible to everybody, and it would just be making sure that things get removed. You know, I don't know.
That was what I was going to say.
Because there's a lot of times, I mean, just with the backpacks in the community, there are so many organizations mm-hmm. that give backpacks mm-hmm. with supplies. And there's also a lot of duplication, and mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that it's cost effective also, because if everybody's spending on, say, backpacks, but this teacher really needs a microscope or, you know, right. something like that, there's it's great. I think it's to do it online is the best way to go, because that's where everybody is these days. But there needs to be a little bit of an effort made so there's no duplication.
Well, I think by
the
for school would be the most efficient way to do it, because there's nobody at the district level who can take that on and be a huge undertaking. But at each school, I would think that they'd be able to identify someone who could post what the teachers are requesting.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that it would be beneficial, Dr. Adams, to keep this kind of awareness out there year round? I know come second semester, we do have some folks who come up short.
I think
some
that, yeah. Actually, I think at the beginning of the year, there's a lot of support for supplies mm-hmm. and backpacks, and Publix gives mm-hmm. so much, and then the Education Foundation puts them into the backpacks. So there's really a lot of big effort at the beginning of the year, and I can see that after school started and getting into more of the school year, that would really be a good time to put information out that if anybody's interested, here are the types of supplies mm-hmm. that schools could use. So it's not so much right now. And the other thing is, we always want to be mindful of what we're asking parents for all the time, because, I mean, people go out and based on the request on the list, they have to spend $100 on a backpack and supplies.
A minimum of $100.
So we need to be mindful about the kinds of things that we're asking for as well. But I think as we get into the school year, I think it's a really appropriate time to and ask the schools to let them decide how they want to do it. Do they want to do it by grade level? At secondary school, that probably would look very different. And
absolutely.
So, yeah. And I think it's a good way to get information out to the school community.
I saw duodangs for 10 cents. I went and bought, you know, Kaseon. I don't know who needs them, but I know somebody needs
them. Yes.
And you could not pass up the sale.
Well, they will be distributed, like you said, after the school year started, where there's some gaps. But
well, yeah. I think another thing that is difficult for families who don't necessarily need the Education Foundation or the mm-hmm. Giver mm-hmm. Youth Activity Center type things, but my granddaughter's a third grader, and in Orange County, she had to have 3 USBs, one for science, one for regular class, and one for gifted. And it's really, you know, even if you mm-hmm. find them for $9.99, that's a lot of money.
It is. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of money.
Oh, as a matter of fact, Ms. Steve Bresta just shared with us, because we got to talking about school supplies.
Mr. McCain, for clarification, is a little...
No, USB is the port that it goes into. That's what I was. What the hell is she talking about?
How about a USB filler?
It's called
a memory stick.
I think the technical term is stick. Is what we who's got a stick?
Everybody here except you knew.
I truly do.
He just wants to make sure we're up with the technology.
Yeah.
And
yeah. We've been talking about school supplies. And as a matter of fact, Mrs. DeAgresta shared with us that the PTA at her child's school uses that as a fundraiser. And so what they do is what does a third grader need? And so they package it and... do they do the backpack as well?
No, the backpack is something separate. But they
so they'll package it, and maybe it's $45.
Liberty did that.
And so the PTA makes money. You're only buying what they need. It's a pretty reasonable cost. And then during the year, if more supplies are needed, you can advertise or whatever. But I thought that's a good suggestion, because mm-hmm. parents spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Especially at family.
Well, that's what I was going to say, especially if it's a family with more than one child.
Yeah.
It can really
so I think that's we'll do that, Mrs. Disney.
I'd like
to
know.
Thank you.
Ms. Bennett.
Okay, this is a quick item. I gave each of you a copy of the new board member list of documents for a successful beginning. And this was part of a conversation we had months ago about being prepared. Do you
I didn't get one.
No, that's great.
Thank you.
About
mine's sitting on my desk.
Basically,
on my desk.
I just thought, you know, since we have everything online, it would be great for a new board member or for any board member for that matter to have a page on our website linked to the board member website where they have access to all of these documents provided, and Ms. DiAgresta could look over it, that all of these are documents that are public record. and the idea would be that it would be linked, because all of those documents are somewhere on our website. But sometimes it's not that easy to find documents. You have to know what department, where to go. So I kind of looked at the things that I've been collecting over the years and the information that I use, and that's why I wanted your input, because there may be things there that you think, no, that's not necessary, or there are things that are missing, and that would be my contribution to our, you know, our new board member orientation. So.
And I did, there were a couple of areas, and I apologize, I do have it on my desk, but let me see it real fast.
Sure.
If I could. There was just a... I'm sorry, Ms. Simpson.
No,
I literally
took
that out of your hands.
No,
why does this look a little bit different?
I did make some changes before.
Okay, I was going to say, this doesn't look like the one that's sitting on my desk.
Pretty much the same.
And it dealt with who was going to handle what, and under general, where you have school board and or superintendent, and I think that I understand why you did that, but I think that there's a lot of these that actually have to go through the board attorney for a more accurate interpretation, such as any questions about state statutes or, just sunshine law.
Mm-hmm.
There are specific questions, as I have learned over the years, when a new board member comes on, and Ms. Stang sits in there, and I think somewhere we advertise that I'm meeting with those people, but I do think that there's a lot of conversation that you're not going to know. So if the superintendent, a lot of this, I don't think the superintendent necessarily would, under general, and I forget, there was something in the budget, but I'll find it in a minute, but I think that there are a lot, I like this, I like this format, I like the idea of the links, which is very important, but I think a lot of this, whoever is your next school board chairman, I think really needs to continue with that one-on-one conversation so that they, because a board member to a board member is different than a superintendent to a board member, in my opinion, so.
This is just supposed to be resources.
Oh, I understand.
Right. Written resources.
But some of that is not... goes beyond resources, I think.
So when you're talking about Florida statute, are you talking about a link to the statute?
That's what she's talking about. It's a link to a statute.
Yeah. There's a link to the statute. I'm just trying to understand what information here would not be appropriate.
Would not be appropriate to link? Go ahead.
I was going to jump in. I think what we're doing is, and the way I was introduced to the board through, the discussion and then meeting with the attorney, and I was smart enough to say, what are our open cases, and before she could even
Sure.
But it would have been, it took me a while, obviously, the glossary of terms was great, too.
We're all still struggling with that.
But, it took me a while to ask for the contracts, and it took me a while to think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what you're trying to accomplish, because even in the best performer that comes to the table, I think mm-hmm. a central. I think mm-hmm. this is great. So I would say that as long as we continue the process of the way you, I was trained, so to speak, were introduced to the board.
Informed.
We'll use it, yes. Trained like a dog.
I do applaud because this would be helpful.
It is.
So as long as the attorney saw that all of these are public information, there was just like a list with a link or the ability.
Yes, everything on that list is a public document.
Are you seeing
it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're all very general in nature.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key. They're general in nature. When you need specifics under a specific scenario, then you need to be able to go to either the board attorney or to the superintendent.
So maybe mm-hmm. a disclaimer, always talk to your
board. I do.
Yes. This is not legal advice. This is simply
yes.
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 This is not legal. But my whole thing with this was just
mm-hmm. list of resources.
Like yes, absolutely.
Like curating information mm-hmm. so that somebody can just go there and get what they need.
And I was referring to
because there's so much disclaimer.
Right.
Or
right.
Source, rather. Source.
Right.
I think it's good.
And I would hate for somebody under something that could lead to a potential vote on something to have had a conversation with a fellow board member. That's where I'm going.
Let's not invite anyone to filing.
Well, this is a list of documents.
I know, but you have here a reference, and it says school board or superintendent.
What I was trying to get at was who produces these documents or who's the one. For example, if you want any of this achievement data, student, that comes from curriculum and instruction. If you want anything.
They can talk to them.
Right. So we can get rid of those. I was just trying to find a way of saying
clarification.
I think that you need that because a new board member is not going to know who to go to.
Right.
My only concern was the school board thing sent off some bells and whistles, and as Ms. DeGrasse says, you
take okay. So maybe for cross out
school board. Yeah.
And put superintendent and or attorney.
Okay, great.
Yes, I think that good suggestion.
Attorney. Okay.
Does that accomplish what you're trying to do also? Yes, Ms. Disney.
Did you cross-check that with Mrs. Stang's list? She has a list that's longer than that, mm-hmm. with more documents. So I don't know.
We actually talked about this, but, she can do whatever she needs mm-hmm. to with it. This was just my suggestion. These are things that, it doesn't occur to you on first go to request. And we could do whatever you want with it. Mm-hmm.
As you said, if we can have a link, an access link,
right. mm-hmm.
and you don't know when you first get started, mm-hmm. what is you don't know what you don't know. You don't
right.
know what you don't have. You don't know what you don't. If that would be very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I was thinking maybe it would be helpful to have a general welcome letter, dear new board member. Welcome to the board. Florida Sunshine Law
applies,
and we can't. Period. I'm not being very poetic about it, but we have as new board members at one time, we found these documents to be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. We did that 2007 or 8 that I was.
Yeah.
I think you might have missed. The same orientation though because you came in.
Yeah, I was like, there was an election mm-hmm. and I just kind of.
And it was very fast.
Yeah. Swear in board meeting.
That's exactly
right. Impasse hearing.
Okay.
But I
you might want to go through it.
Yeah.
Just to see if there's anything else.
What I like is that this is a place where they are and you don't have to go looking for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's really good. I think the other thing that I always like is the opportunity to go around and talk to all of these groups as well. This is just documents, but mm-hmm. I do like that there's a holding place for all of them because
like electronic file cabinet.
An electronic file cabinet. And it's all there when you're ready to look at it, because you won't be ready to look at it all at once, but at least if there's a workshop on the code of conduct, where to go to get it. So
but I still think it's important for Dr. Adams to set up those visits with the assistant superintendent.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That is vital and having the discussion with
why don't you just load all that up on a USB?
There you go. That's a great idea.
on
the stick.
Please. He's going to get me in trouble.
No, it's not.
Matt McCain
game. We can put that in general.
That's really the best idea.
What's that?
Put it in the stick.
Put it on the stick.
Yeah.
Stick.
Put it on a stick.
Yeah.
Very good. Though.
You're going to miss somebody to pick on. I don't know who will be next in the picking.
Apparently it's going to be Suzanne. Today's an indication.
But you know, Karen, as you say that, I don't. This is not intended to be comprehensive
and
include every single document.
Yeah, no.
It's intended to just touch the tip of the iceberg with some of the main things that we need to be paying attention to
access
as board members.
To some of the main things.
So that's it. And it's just that. It's a list. It's not supplanting anything that's already in place that helps the board members become familiar with their roles. But, you know, in looking at my binder, I found that over time I kept adding things to it that became references. And I thought, you know, that would be something nice to have for a new board member, because over the years I've realized these are things that I go back to over and over, and I'm sure most of you do too.
And Peggy's wonderful little list of phone extensions.
That's
from my notebook.
See, I didn't get that.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to be on here, right?
There you go.
Or you just have to remember one phone number. You call Judy. I need to talk to so-and-so. Okay, I'll arrange it.
She's impatient.
So what would you like to do with this? I've added the DSEG order, the phone extension list, and changed general to reflect attorney and or superintendent. How would you like to... How can we proceed with this? If we want this to be something that's available, do we want it on our school board member page as a document you can click on, and then all of these go to...
You're not talking about the private page. You're talking about our school board member page.
These are all public
records.
I know.
No, that's what I'm asking.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were referring
yes,
to just...
I think that's...
Just the private... I didn't know if that's what you were referring to. Because I was going to say, I think it would be important for the public to be able to... And some of this is... there's a couple of things that I think
you probably don't want the phone extensions out on the phone.
No.
Yeah, maybe the phone extensions.
How about helpful links?
That? I had suggested to add it, but I didn't realize it was going to be public. I thought it was going to be on the restricted.
Confidential. Yeah, that's why I thought that's what we were referring to when you added that.
Well, it could go in the private. I just think because everything here is public. I think that it's also a great resource for our community.
Well, those phone extensions are also public.
It seems like the purpose of this is for new board members, which I think is a great idea. These documents are accessible to the public.
Right.
They're just not in the same place. So I like the idea for new board members. You're putting it all in one place, but you might want to add things to that that are confidential in nature. Not make this public, because these other documents are public.
Then where are we going to put it? We're going to put it on the private school board page?
If you're going to put phone extensions and you think those are...
Well, your comments. I will make a comment. I think that on the school board page that we don't necessarily need to name it new board member information. I think it is might be labeled helpful information, because is there anything on here that you think would be it's all public record? Every bit of that is public record, and I think if we made it a little bit easier for the public, if they go to the school board page, they're going to find what they want to find anyway. Is there anything you feel might be a...
I think you're losing your purpose for doing it.
Okay.
I think the purpose is for new school board members.
Okay.
If we need to change our web and make it more, and people can't find things, that's one thing. But I think if you're trying to create something for new school board members and you've identified this as what it is...
We can put it on the private.
It can go either place. I think it can go either place. I don't think there's anything that couldn't go under your, just to say new board member information, put it under yours. And anybody can click on it if they're interested.
Because I think the way you look at our page now, we have our policies, we have our calendar. It would just make sense to have, okay, and here are helpful links, you know, for school board related documents.
And another thing, from someone who does a lot of exterior work, you click on that. The other one you have to sign in and sign in and sign in if it's all public. So if you know, you have the block for the calendar, and as I said, a block and helpful links. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who clicks on it, but we would just tell a new board member to go there. And, you know,
and for you as well.
Yes.
I was just thinking through the things that you do have on the list. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested in adding the special policies and procedures document for ESE students to that list? You've got your code of conduct, you have your pupil progression plan, but your SP&P mm-hmm. is kind of the other piece of that stool to get all aspects of your students, your special programs and procedures manual. It's that thing that's put out by the Department of Education, and you guys actually look at it and adopt it. I think it's every 2 or 3 years. I forget the schedule.
It's ESE.
But that's for, yes, you do. It's really thick. Because that kind of gives you then all aspects of your student pieces.
That's excellent. Thank you. And then can you just take a quick look under general? I put an asterisk where it says not generated by the school district. So the link to the Florida statutes, to Robert's Rules of Order, to Sunshine Law, you know.
What were you saying?
I think that's all perfectly appropriate. That all of that information is either on the state website. Mm-hmm. The statutes are posted by the state. The Sunshine Law is in that same group of statutes, so that's all posted by the state. Now, Robert's Rules.
Is there websites that have information? What do you think about that?
I would be concerned if we are posting a copy of Robert's Rules of Order, we would be violating their copyright because you buy that book, having bought it in the past.
Okay, so that would. And also because we don't adhere to the strictest degree to Robert's Rules of Order. I'm sorry?
Copy provided.
Oh, I know. There's a copy of Robert's Rules provided. And then are you aware of a link for Sunshine Law specifically that we could use?
It's the same link for Florida statutes. The link for Florida statutes takes you to all of the statutes, chapters 1 through, 1013. And then you just can click on whichever chapter you want. Or we could do something more targeted to just that chapter. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
And I like that that is separate. I like that Sunshine is separate. Because especially for a new board member who hasn't had any experience, that is.
And just from a computer point of view, you could have Florida statutes and link directly to that chapter, which is 119, mm-hmm. and then the other one can start in the beginning on the index page. So you would list those two, but just the whoever does the IT work will go to the specific link on 119, chapter 119, which is the Sunshine Law. And then the other one would just start in the beginning with the. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whoever is your IT.
Yeah, Robbie.
I think Robbie does.
This. Yeah. Do you want to link to all of the Florida statutes, or do you want to link to the education code?
That's the best.
So it would be chapter 1000 through 1013. Yeah, because, I mean, not that I don't love all the statutes, but. After a while, I love them. I love the law, but after a while, it's overwhelming as it is. Yeah. But
so I could see just in parentheses putting education code, and then they click on 1003, and then they click on 1013. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other comments on this?
I like it.
So, Dr. Adams, will you? I'm going to give you a final copy.
Give me a final copy, and then I'll work with the departments and Mr. Anna to put this on the website. We're going to put it on the board public website.
Where we have.
And we're going to entitle it Helpful Information.
Yes. Helpful Links.
Helpful Links.
That's pretty much what we decided. Yeah. And did we want to include the phone list in there or not? I had lost it all.
Yeah. No.
We'll just have to make certain that Ms. Stang puts a copy along with the Robert's Rules, the little packet you do if you put the phone links.
Yes,
we
do.
Okay.
Thank
you. Okay. Eccentric?
awesome legislative experience, and every body does handle public input and public dialogue differently. From a history, from my point of view, I have been to a meeting on a board where we had two meetings a month, such as this, starting at 6:30 and then voting at 10 to extend to 10:30, and then moving things on and on and on and on, and work not getting done because of extreme public input. People on the same subject, 30 people at a time. So I understand how public input, as much as you want to include a community, can be problematic to a business meeting and getting the business of the day done. And I think we do that quite well. I think we get the business of the day done pretty well. But it was kind of noticeable to me the last meeting when we had the hearing, which was public, we script, we read, and we allowed the public input, that, you know, just as an example, we had only two people having a public input and extended it to an hour and a half. I see, and I don't have an answer, so I'm bringing it forward, and I'm seeing that there is many times that I get things privately, as we all do, but it's not a public discussion. And I don't know where the place for it is, or how to maybe provide more areas for the public to have dialogue with us publicly, not one-on-one, and then we come back here, and then we're kind of bringing something, and somebody's not even here. That's not public input. That's just somebody coming to me, and then I'm moving something forward. But sometimes if somebody brings something forward can produce really good changes and maybe spark a discussion amongst ourselves. And I just think we're lacking that in some way on our board. I don't have the solution, so I apologize for bringing forward something that I don't have a solution for. But it's something that I notice. It's something that I see chattered about in the community. It's something that I think that maybe we can improve on, but I'm not sure how. And yet, as much as I want this improvement, I do not want disruption to getting business done, because I have been on boards like that. So I offer up the area or the time now to hear, you know, as I said, I know history from my own. I don't think I lived in the community when this board, you know, had that problem or when it was so glaring. I know that we offer 3 minutes public input, but there's not a lot of dialogue, and it's at the front of the meeting, although we've had, and again, I only have, you know, where you could put it under the item. But I'm just putting it out there to see if anybody has any suggestions. If they could see how we can, we might, if we revamp the whole thing, we may end up having no one except for maybe the media here, and it may not even be exercised. I have a funny feeling, though, if we do change our rules, we might have it over-exercised. So I'm very cautious. I just want you all to know I'm very cautious about changing the way things are being done, because we are getting our business done, and even, you know, and we have a lot of business, you know, we have an awful lot of business, so I don't have the answer. I just thought I'd bring it up because I noticed it at the meeting the last time it was
held. Well, first of all, let me just make a point of clarification as chairman. There is a difference between public input and the public hearing. The public hearing, we do not close down discussion. We do not in any way. If they want to stand up there and talk for an hour and a half apiece, they have the right to do that by law. So I think when you have public dialogue, public input, and you were talking about the two ladies who made us go an extra hour, hour and a half just with that one little segment there, that was a public hearing.
No, I understand the difference. Okay. And I understand that we satisfied by law what we were supposed to do, and rightfully so. However, that's not done throughout the whole meeting. And so, or is it done here? So I don't have the answer, but as I said, but what I was pointing out the time, actually, how just by requiring by law, it extended the meeting an hour and a half. So if we did public input every session for, you know, 3 minutes or 5 minutes or unlimited, we'd never get any work done. I'm conceding to that. I'm saying
the community has been through that with 1 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. even 3 o'clock.
I don't think anybody wants to go back to that.
But you have to remember too that part of this is set for the fact that we have staff that has worked all day, And back in the day, this is before anybody here was on that on the board. Back in the day, it was common for meetings to go till midnight. I mean, meeting after meeting after meeting, because they didn't have discussion sessions such as this. They did the presentations and any questions during the school board meeting. And Dr. Adams, of course, was here during that time. The community had a had opportunity to see what was going on during that time. But for public input, and if you're looking for a venue, I'm assuming for public dialogue, is that the direction you're going? Yeah. Ms. Jimenez had her pencil up first.
Karen had her.
Okay. Well, birthday girl, I'm sorry.
So, I agree with you that there isn't dialogue at the business meetings. It's one-sided. A few times the superintendent's corrected misinformation, but we don't have a conversation. And that's the piece that's missing. We have in our procedure set up that workshops that are directed by the superintendent don't have public input, and it's really a function of time and staff and trying to get all the information to us in a certain amount of time. But we have the ability to have dialogue in a board-directed workshop. The problem is we don't have very many of them, hardly any. So I think that's what we need to do, is have more of those. Now, our experience has been when we had these town hall meetings and different types of venues for public to come and give their opinions, they don't show up. Mm-hmm. And we've had staff for 2 hours on an evening and not had anyone come. But I don't think that's a reason to not do it. I think we should still have those opportunities open. And in the hierarchy of meetings, I would say this is not one I would that we would require each of us to be at every one, because I think that because it's not an effective format, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it might be tough for people to give up work hours or whatever to be there. But if it does become an effective format, then certainly I think everybody would make the effort to be there. So I'm willing to do that, is to set aside a time once a month or every other month, whatever, that we will have dialogue with the public. It's fine with me.
I'm not gonna give any opinion, because I will not be here when that goes into effect.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think we need to have opportunities to get input from the public. But I think there's a piece that that continues to be of concern, and I think it takes us to why that public hearing piece was an hour and a half long, because this particular item was not workshopped. There was no opportunity for board input, mm-hmm, let alone community input, and that's where I think we have a fine line, because that is a superintendent workshop, and a lot of the most of our workshops are superintendent, mm-hmm, workshops, but they are workshops often on topics where we have people in the audience who could give input, and it's rarely welcomed. It has to be voted upon and so on. But like, for example, sometimes you have a workshop, and this happened a few years ago, where we were talking about the charter schools, and the charter school principals were in the room, and they could have really provided some meaningful input. Now, I'm not saying it's a free-for-all, that they get up and they, mm-hmm, speak, but if we said, input 3 minutes, input whatever amount of time, and then, the other question is, well, how do you determine who gets to give input? But in that example, they were there, they could have contributed, and then we had to finish the meeting, and then everybody on their own had to follow up with them. Or if we're talking about the school health plan and the chair is sitting in the audience, she knows what's going on, but we kind of speak for her instead of giving her a chance. Or if, with student conduct, juvenile justice is on top of this, if they could be allowed to give some input in a controlled manner, not a free-for-all that everybody and their cousin and their relative is going to come, but if you serve, if you're the chair, some parameters that gives an opportunity for input that enriches and informs our conversation. Because even this public hearing, it was a long time, but I think we all got interesting valid information that made us question how we were doing some of these things and say, well, I never thought about it that way because we don't have that public dialogue. So I think sometimes at workshops, regardless of who calls them, there could be opportunities for meaningful input, but the challenge is how do you try to keep a lid on it. And I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but somebody shared this with me. This is the procedures for public input for city council meetings. Mm-hmm. And they have a protocol that they use, and they attach this to every single agenda. And, you know, that's something that we might want to work towards for ourselves when we look at the different venues we have where people are going to be in the audience, and maybe we could include a monthly, you know, leave it open, two board members or more may come, and we listen to the public and hear what they have to say. So we could look at different ways.
Yes. I agree. Two really good examples of where it would have been good for us to have input. However, I still am concerned about a staff-directed workshop being able to be completed. And if public input were to come in the middle or, you know, before it's completed, our questions may have been answered by the end, or I don't know, there's a lot of reasons why perhaps delaying and having a follow-up board workshop where the public can come would be beneficial. We'd have one time to digest all the information that we had received from the superintendent. And two, not everybody's reading those agendas ahead of time and showing up at the time of the workshop. Often they would have comments afterwards, so it would give folks to hear what the superintendent presents. And then the board could have a follow-up workshop where we take that public input. So that's where a open meeting would be great, because the topic could be determined by the current events.
Yeah. Ms. Simchick?
Well, and thank you all for, you know, I wanted to stimulate conversation. And I would like to, and I want to say not reach a consensus or anything today, because I want to think some more on it and maybe next discussion session bring it back. But I think that it's valid to have a board workshop, not a superintendent, and that's a good place for public input. But two things, going back to the board meeting, the business meeting for public input, there's two things, like a pro and a con. That you mentioned, like juvenile justice. Let's say we had something on our agenda and somebody from an outside agency was looking at our agenda and said, hey, I want to go down and tell them about this before they make their decision. It would be, or have dialogue with them. So that would be a helpful input during a business meeting. Again, we go back to all the problems of having all that with a business meeting. But again, it also depends on, and I know with confidence, we have right now, we have a strong, that public input at a public meet, at our public business meeting, requires a strong chair, and a strong chair to keep it guided. And that's where I found on prior boards or bodies of legislator groups where when they don't have the strong board and somebody just next and next. I mean, I've seen somebody say, look, is there anybody that has a different opinion than Mr. Smith? If you don't have a different opinion, please, in the interest of time, you know, I mean, I
you can't do that.
No, I've seen it done. I'm just saying that, but at least because there was 100 people brought in to sway the board. So I understand the pitfalls of opening up a different way of doing things. And that's why I said I really only want to, I'm really interesting if you had.
The only thing if you want to do more board direct workshops, fine. But I wouldn't be in favor of changing anything in our business meetings at all. I think I will have less public input.
And thank you, Ms. Simchick, but I will tell you what. You will never have a strong board chairman if you don't have a strong board, and a board that's willing to be involved and give direction and not just sit there and do nothing. Mm-hmm. And I fully believe that. Mm-hmm. I'm a product of what you all allow to happen, not and nothing else.
One of the things I was going to point out is at one time, and that's why board meetings, people could get up at any time they wanted to. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't have to fill out a sheet, which you do get to now. If you want to speak to an item on the agenda, you can fill that out and submit it. So there is an opportunity to do that. At one time, people could get up at any time and go to the podium, and that's became very disruptive. But you put a process in place, and I think it's a fair process, because if that person from juvenile justice has sees an item that they want to share some information, they can fill out a sheet, give it to the board chair, and the board chair will call them up either at the beginning or during that item.
And we did tweak that. Originally, it was you just had to put in, you had to put your name and your address and phone number and all that kind of stuff. Now, all you have to do is put your name. We tell you not to give your address. Who knew, Mr. Gresson? And we now give them the opportunity to speak at the time of the item, which has much more relevance than somebody who's going to speak to an issue at the very beginning of the meeting, and then they're out the door, and we see it. We see it more than anybody else because we're looking as those people speak and never even go back and take their seats.
Now, whether our public knows that or not, I don't know, but that is a procedure that we do have in place.
I think it's pretty well laid out.
Yeah, no, and I agree with Mr. McCain. I do think that the way we're running our board meetings, and even with the time constraint, you know, because if you think about it, a lot of times people just repeat and repeat and repeat, and if you have a certain time, if it really means a lot to you, you figure out what your main points are. And I do think that a lot of that does inform us if we're willing to be open-minded and we're willing to listen. But I don't think it's that's not the appropriate time to have the back and forth. You can call us, you can come in and speak to us, you can email us. We are all available.
And your superintendent's available
and
to give
Dr.
them all the
Adams
information.
Too. So I don't think that by the time it's the board meeting, it's a little too late to all of a sudden be passionate. And if it happens to be that was it, you saw it this morning, you can still come in and you have 3 minutes to tell us why you think we should support or not support. But I think the back and forth would just...
The dialogue is
not
very...
Mm-hmm. Unless it's something egregious or something that really we can't let it go, or somebody takes
that statement... Point of privilege. That's why Dr. Adams, we agreed as a board that the response to public input would come from Dr. Adams if she so desired. And there's times when she has passed me a note, or I have passed her a note, and that, you know, is this something you want to speak to? Yes. You know, and that's very important. But I will tell you, when we have had issues that dealt with teachers and with CWA, actually, there was one. We were told there were 60 people who were coming to. So I'm sitting there with my little 3 minutes. Okay, we got 60 people, and how long are we going to be here for public input? Mm-hmm. But I understand what you're saying, and I'm sure that there are organizations and public entities that say, you know, unless you have something new, we don't want to hear it. But I have to tell you, I think that you are doing your organization a great disservice if you don't listen to everybody who wants to speak. I really and truly do. I really do. Dr. Adams, you had a call.
And there was another time, and it seems like it had to do with, there were two, the high schools were involved. What was the issue?
Oh, the ag? When they...
But we had had a superintendent's workshop, and we had discussed part of it, but there was still further discussion needed. So then we intentionally organized another one where we had a kind of a group of people come in and have that discussion. So I think that's another way that you can follow up to get input, and it was a great discussion. But it was the board and the community members that were part of this getting in.
Well,
part
we
of
the
circle to do that.
Just as when we had the
policy change.
And we had the policy change, and we had the judges come in.
Yes, yes.
I mean, for a judge to take time out of their day, and actually we had two.
Two.
We had Holly and
But it's Canada. Another vehicle to get further input when you've got some issues that the community wants to talk about.
So then I have a couple of thoughts. Well, I kind of think it's a disservice if you don't let them all talk, but you don't let any talk. So that's just in that forum. So I think in both ways it's a disservice. So I wanted to know, in policy, where in policy
somebody came to tonight's meeting with a three-minute thing, ability to speak, and I wanted to respond. Where in policy says I can't?
Nothing, and we have had board members who responded.
Okay. All right, I just wanted
but
to
we don't get into a, Mr. So-and-so, you are wrong, and I will tell you that from up there, prior to 2006, mm-hmm. you had board members who would say, Mr. So-and-so, you're wrong. This is so-and-so, you are wrong. And this is why. And they would get into, and then of course the person who's standing there wants to rebut that. Mm-hmm. And that's why they were mm-hmm. going to all hours of the night. And plus the board members were arguing their most.
Yeah, you have the inherent right to be a jackass. I mean, all board members do.
And it was the same thing. You may end up with that.
So you.
Not you, Dale.
I know, I was going to say we may
all board members have that right.
So you want to go, you want to discuss whether we want to have a monthly meeting that is strictly dialogue for the public?
As I said, I'd like to think on it. I'm kind of listening and saying. But what I wanted to also ask is, so instead of having a monthly meeting, why would not our discussion meeting, if we're calling the discussion meeting, why wouldn't that be the appropriate time? Why are we calling another meeting? Why are we allowing public input on this meeting?
The purpose of the discussion meeting is that I have another issue and it is not on here. So how is the public going to know that they should have been here as we discuss this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, Claudia, this came up, this has been going on for 6 years. And didn't Claudia have an idea one time that at either discussion meetings or some meeting, if a board member wanted to invite somebody,
we talked about that,
yeah,
yes.
That seemed vaguely familiar.
Yes.
Well, and may I say that when you
and
have...
And board members have invited people.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They haven't necessarily been able to speak.
We're different. We don't have dialogue at our board meetings, but I'll say for city council. Under their matters, people, they don't have to put what's under their matters, and when somebody puts around, so when you're saying there was something on here and it's not on the agenda, that can happen at any meeting. But what I'm saying is if we have discussion here, and then, like, there would be, instead of three, would be public input. And at any time, somebody could have public input. I'm not saying that that's what you do. But what I'm saying is, I understand you're saying, well, there may not be something on here that I have on here. How would they know to come? Well, they can either come for anything that we have, whether it's a discussion group on the new administration building, because we've had that, or it's a discussion meeting on something else, right? The health plan or any of those things. They have an opportunity. If a board member under their matters or on their round has something else, obviously they're contributing. But then this becomes the forum for a public input. And most likely under an item that we're pre-discussing, we're getting consensus at these meetings, we're getting pre-discussion. So actually what I'm saying is we're pounding out work here, but we're also allowing the public input towards those items. But also, what I'm saying is you could either just allow that, or you could allow a last item that says public input. Anything that, you know, I don't know what that says, but some things will say anything that hasn't been brought up in the last 6 months, so that you're not reworking something every week either. You know, there's all sorts of language that can be done. You know what I'm saying? So you have, somebody could speak after, you know, somebody speaks, the chair would say after this, anybody from the public have any comments about public input and whatever, and they have a position to come up and speak, and then we go about our agenda.
So you're saying let the public speak to anything that is on here?
They're afforded the opportunity.
This one?
Yes.
Because
they may not be here or they may not want
to. Public input.
Well, I'm saying that they could bring up anything that's on here, and then just like on an agenda, I'm only telling because I have other experience, that each agenda item, somebody can be afforded to discuss specific to that agenda item, but then you include an area for if somebody has something new they want to bring to the public.
So
or not. That's up to you.
They would be able to speak after each of the, or any of the items, and then they would
have a general public input.
Well,
and that takes it away from the business meeting.
A much longer meeting than what
I understand.
Here, so, yes,
I understand.
This Disney.
Well, I value this time mm-hmm. that we had. Now, I approach it a lot differently now than I used to. I used to come prepared with three or four items on there. I do all this work ahead of time, get ready for the meeting. But very often, I wasn't able to get through my list.
Yes.
And it was an exercise in frustration for me. So I, yeah, but your list is, you keep kind of a running list, don't you, more or less, that you add and take.
If you have something, if, yeah, if there's something gnawing at your craw, Claudia will bring it up eventually. If you just listen.
But I find that we don't have enough time for this discussion. I don't ever feel like we have a lot of spare time. Mm-hmm. I think that I don't feel like I'd be willing to give up any of this time because it's valuable for us to have these kind of conversations. I still want to talk to the public, but I would rather have another venue than to replace these time.
And I will say that Dr. Adams occasionally, it's not every discussion item or discussion session, but she will say, I would like to bring so-and-so to the board. We do not need a two-hour workshop on this. And I respect that she is using this in that in that way. Or an update. And you've done numerous updates that have taken 30 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that. But we're done. And she did not want to do set aside another 2 hours somewhere to do an update that was only going to take 45 minutes in the discussion. Mr. McCain? Were you already?
I'm drinking.
Well, you continue.
I'll swallow.
So, Ms. Jimenez?
I agree about this time because this is where we bring up things and we kind of hash things out and we have these conversations. But I do really like that idea, and we need to kind of think it through of maybe doing a monthly opportunity, like a monthly open house kind of thing. Come in, bring in issues, and we can listen to what people want to say. It could be here, we could do it somewhere else.
Well, then, can I just ask right now for Ms. Stang to put under my item for next discussion, just the same title at the same? I've got a lot of input, and I think that's probably the way to go. I'd like to think, and maybe come bring back again discussion next discussion meeting, so that maybe we can get a clearer route that we might want to take.
And I'm sitting here thinking on the 26th, I think we have some open slots on the 26th. If you did it on a regular school board meeting day, then you would not be asking the school board members to take a separate day. And I think that
we're going to have new board members. We're going to have a lot of workshops.
You sure are. Yes, you are.
A lot of workshops.
Whatever the next discussion, I mean, I'm glad that it's out, that I was able to have, the opportunity to bounce ideas off of you and ideas. That's my New York English.
You all. And what you want is public dialogue, public input. You're not looking for that to change on the school board agenda, or are you?
No. I don't think I'm looking if the agenda is the right place for it out of business meetings. I really just...
Public input?
Well, I mean public dialogue.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Are you satisfied with public... Do you want public input discussion to come back, or do you want us to focus on public dialogue? That's where I'm trying to get.
This is a title. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't care the title. I mean, I don't know where it's for, and I don't know where it's at, and I don't know where we're going. I just really use that as the title for what I was thinking.
All right.
Put some thought
out. I was trying to be more specific. I thought we had closed the public input discussion as it relates to the business meeting. And the public hearing, I think there was discussion on. I'm just trying to get direction.
I want to put the same title on it and bring back my fonts. It doesn't mean that my opinion, I haven't formed a full opinion on it yet. So
that's what I was asking. Was the issue of public input closed for you?
No. I would like to leave it the exact same way and then just discuss it again.
Okay.
I'd just like you to know that we've all been through this experience that you're having, and I empathize with you that it's so difficult to find that sweet spot of communicating. And these things we've added, the deliberate workshops, the discussion, and we have to add something else, do it. But I empathize with you because I remember the days of being a new board member and being like, when do I get to talk to people?
And I can talk to anybody anytime. It's just that they can't bring forward. It's not a public discussion. So, I thank you all for giving me some direction and some, your stance on it.
And one of the things I would like to say as your superintendent is I think it's important that you bring that information forward to your superintendent. If there's public discussion going on about something, bring it, it doesn't have to be in an arena where it's just board members talking about it. it is important that, you know, that you have your leader want to address it as well. If you're hearing this and this and this, you're hearing it over and over again.
Yeah.
It's important to, you know, have some discussion with me or your leader about it, so we can maybe able to act on something.
I really
think,
Dr. Adams, those are two different issues. My responsibility as a board member is to get information to you immediately if somebody talks to me as an individual. But I think this is looking at a forum for board members to sit down with the public. And I think that's the... But I would hope that there's no one here that surprises you with anything, that we go to you and that as soon as we hear an issue.
What I want, I think, is important is that people don't want to call you first
on
everything. Yeah. You're not the go-to person.
Right.
That, remember, you know, bring it forward we can deal with it. And you're not the person that they want to automatically talk to, but if there's an issue.
And probably a good example would be the code of conduct. And I think you were quite clear, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you said there was no other venue for that, even if it's just venting. There was no other public venue for that venting, so that when it became time for the hearing, it was extended a very long time because they had, it was two at that time, it could be 30, but there was no other venue for the venting of how, or at least for them to feel that they were reaching each one of us and maybe changing our mind whether to publish or not publish or what to do.
Regarding the public hearing, I have no regrets that it was long. That doesn't bother me at all.
No,
what bothers me is that I didn't have the information in a timely manner where we could actually react to it. Mm-hmm. Because that hearing, that's not the time to to change anything.
You have to have a workshop on that before you ever take it.
Yeah. So that was the only regret I had, was that we didn't have an opportunity to hear it, to research it, to respond to it, whether it was positive or negative, and then go forward after addressing the public concerns.
And I think Dr. Adams has made it very clear that she has addressed the issue and that won't be an issue. That won't be an issue on that issue.
That's a procedural thing that
absolutely
is correct.
But I think it also points to that ongoing conundrum that we have as school board members, that everything is so piecemeal. And we don't have opportunities to know. Even with this venue, a lot of times we don't know that other board members are concerned about the same issues we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all very individualized, and everybody has their own perspective. And every once in a while, we all kind of come to the same place and have that open dialogue. But, you know, that's a disservice to us as a board. And I don't know how you tackle that because of all the sunshine issues, but it's very challenging because, and that's why it's important for every board member to be engaged, because what Carol may bring up, nobody else may be paying attention to what you bring up. And so if we're all doing this, we're covering it. But, you know, and some of it surfaces here, and a lot of stuff just goes by the wayside.
Okay.
Anything else? I was just going to say, and I agree, because
you do have to have this sort of,
what? I don't agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why you feel like that. And you could go through your whole explanation and say, well, I'm sorry, I still don't agree with you, but thank you. You know, I mean, that's, and I think that's what the public is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That, and there's a hole there. So I thank you all for you know, giving me some thoughts about what to do, and I just really...
do you want me to show this?
Yeah, if you could just ask her to put that in everybody's... Still don't know, you know, the exact place for it. I think I like that workshop idea, and I'm a deer. because I think that satisfies that, at least for now. So I thank you for that suggestion.
Mr. McCain.
No, it's funny because I said something about, and I was busting on Claudia, but honest as I'm, God, as I'm sitting here, I was going to come in here, and if nobody had said it the whole way, I was just going to bring up the superintendent search, just something on it. So, I'll like I said, if I'm just quiet, it'll eventually get
over.
No, go ahead. I yield my time to the senator from Kansas.
I had mentioned the superintendent search to Ms. Stang, and it was already, I guess, on your list. But so I will go to Ms. Dissy.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. Oh.
So we will now go to Ms. Jimenez, who has it on her published list, yes. Superintendent search.
Do it.
There you go.
No, I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, Dr. Adams has given us time, but it's never enough time when you engage in a process like this. So I just wanted us to start that conversation. I know that we're going to have school board member, at least one new school board member on board in November, but we can't wait, I don't think, and maybe the board, you know, disagrees, but I don't think that we can wait until November to start this process. And I recall last time we had to just decide basic, you know, do we want a state search? Do we want a national search? Who do we want to go with? So I think that this is a good time to at least start that conversation so we can start doing whatever research we need to do to move forward.
Mr. McCain.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of basic things we're going to have to figure out first. Number one is after the, you know, the election is August 26th.
Correct.
You know, you'll have a new board member then. Even though they're not a voting board member, do you include them somehow in this? And I don't know the answer. You know, but you've got Karen and Carol have been through this twice. Claudia and I have been through this once. You know, but once you decide whoever voices at the table are, you know, your first thing is when you guys did it back then, you know, you used a big national search firm, right? Well, we just used the guys from
that
FSBA.
Was the consensus of the board. Not
exactly.
Board.
No. I know. I'm saying you guys meaning you
it's
five.
Okay.
I mean you five. You know, but we used Wayne Blanton this last time, and I thought that worked very well. But I don't know. I mean, that's going to be your first choice right there. And you can't move forward until you figure out what you're doing.
It's Disney.
Yeah, so in anticipation of this conversation, I was looking at some of my stuff from the last two searches, and I think for our next conversation, it would be really valuable if we could provide the documents to all the board members on the cost of each of those searches, the one that we did in 2008.
No, it was before 8.
2007. And then the one that we did in 2011.
We started the search in 2007.
Yeah. The cost and the contract just as a representative of what to expect. Not that every firm's going to have the same contract, but I think that'd be useful to have. And the types of the timeline that we used, so that board members understand what's ahead of them. And when it comes to new board members, it makes sense that they be given all the information, the dates of all the meetings and all. They don't have voting ability, but they need to be up to speed on what has happened so far. So I think that it's valuable to have the new person involved to that extent.
Well, that, quite quickly after your notification to us, that was my first question for the attorney, and I just have to tell you right now, I would like to see all that information, but I would probably agree with Board Member McCain. I would rather see the Florida School Board Association do it for that because of the fee and the cost. That would be my feeling.
Well, that's mine too, but I didn't feel like it was... I felt like you needed the data instead of just my opinion.
No, I would like to see that, but that's my feeling.
Yeah, and I think, and they did a very good job. I mean, I've only participated in one, but I think it was done in a way that was very effective.
Well, if you were a Dade County or a Brevard County, you needed a national firm. Did not need a national firm. But you have to remember, there were three new board members and two board members who had never been through a superintendent search. So I think that was part of it.
And a lot of, and it sucks. It's a ton of time. It's not fun.
Well, even as a level.
Are you sure? 2 more years? get me through two more
years.
Okay.
So Dr. McCain changed the expression that he wanted to speak to you.
Yes.
And that he thought an October meeting was appropriate for the beginning of all. I think you're probably right on that.
I am. I appreciate that because October was my timeline. You don't want to set anything during the holidays, but you want to get your message out there and your message needs to go out no later than as soon as you roll out from winter break. I have to
have to stop and remember it's winter break. And if we have an October meeting, then the new board member will be on November 18th. And you can go with the specifics at that time. But you'll have an opportunity to have a discussion with Dr. Blanton, which mm-hmm. I think is very important. I actually, the item that is on the agenda tonight in our discussion today, we need to first officially accept the retirement for Dr. Adams. That's the protocol. You have to officially accept the retirement. And so we're doing that. Mm-hmm. And then I think you need to look at what your time frame is. You know when Dr. Adams is going to be leaving. When Dr. Adams came on board as our school superintendent, we had the opportunity for her to be on board and be part of the planning process at the end of the year, which we thought was going to work very well. Unfortunately, the authority rested with the seated superintendent, and things did not work out the way they should have. The seated superintendent, we did buy out the last of his days. That was most unfortunate. It was most unfortunate for everybody involved. And there was no way around it. It just ended up that way. But I don't think these circumstances are the same. Dr. Adams, I know in our discussions, is even though she's going to be leaving, she's very vested in not just a superintendency, but a lot of years in this community mm-hmm. and a lot of years with our school district. Mm-hmm. And she is dedicated to making certain that she is leaving a legacy here. And she's going to make certain that she is as cooperative as possible with whoever comes on board. And I think whoever goes as part of that transition is going to benefit from Dr. Adams' years here. And we've had the discussion, you know, she's been part of where we will be in June when she leaves. So there's no rattling some agenda in front of somebody. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. And the board will set what they feel are the parameters, the appropriate parameters. And you're going to have some public pushback on certain areas, and the board needs to realize that's always going to be a discussion that you're going to have in certain areas, and those will surface. Those will start surfacing as soon as you start talking about a search. But I still think it's important for us to get the information about what our national search cost us.
Sure.
I think that's a tool that every board member needs mm-hmm. when we say we're going to go with Florida School Board Association, because there also was some criticism when we used Florida School Board Association mm-hmm. That we were sort of inbred and et cetera. I mean, we had all kinds of things thrown out there. So I'm just cautioning you because we've been through it. So. But I think if we can work with that, I will be prepared when we have our discussion session in September. I will make certain that I have some direction from the board. I'll come up with some sort of a brief document regarding the superintendent search. We can massage that a little bit. We'll have the information on the cost value, and I will meet with Dr. Blanton just as soon as possible after our discussion session in September. So I may meet within the end of September rather than waiting till October. Because then we'd have to wait till October to move forward.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think he would anticipate you scheduling the October date fairly soon.
So we'll work on that. Okay. Okay. Ms. Inchick. Mr. McCain, what do you have now?
How is that? I could pick another one of Claudia's, but...
Well, go for it.
I would be lying. One thing in mind. Go ahead.
And I'm going to pass. Ms. Disney?
Those were the only two things I have.
Health Department, which one of these
I'm actually
going to
go with one that's not there.
Oh, okay.
Surprise.
I'm sending around the rough draft for the platform. That's what I really needed to put on here. You had asked me when we had the conversation, and as you get it, to include the dual enrollment mm-hmm. and the supplemental academic instruction on the snapshot. So I've added them to the back.
And those are just placeholders because I still have to meet with Mr. Morrison. But I also had a request from the group to put in a statement on vouchers. And so I did that. I don't know if you want to make it voucher slash choice, but the second to last item is vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm proposing. I don't know if those numbers are accurate, so if you could read it and tell me how you would like it to read, if that's the intent that you had with that.
I like including choice. That's more inclusive, I think. That's nicely worded, Claudia.
Well, some of this is from the platform. I don't know if that $2.5 billion is...
That's the tax base.
Yeah.
So you'll need to get... Vern to give you the exact dollar figure.
Okay, so...
Claudia, Bill Fritz had something he wanted to talk to you about, and he's talking to me about it. For the life of me right now, I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
Something to consider on the legislative
platform. So I'll try.
So I'll look at Vern. What is your timeline for this, Ms. Jimenez?
I am hoping that this will be ready for approval at the last board meeting in September. And what's happening... Okay, so are we good with vouchers and choice? Does
yes.
that work? I'll
yeah.
just confirm that number. And then on the back, if you could... This is the snapshot information.
Mm.
And... there's general information, the student demographics, ESE, ELL, pre-K, EPK, free and reduced lunch rate, which will be written out, number of migrant students, the number of our schools. And I added this number, and I have a handout that corresponds to that number, because, you know, for all the time that I've been on the board, we always talk about the total number of students that we serve, and we always have a number, and it ranges from 14,000 to 17,000, depending on whether you include charter schools or not. But this bit of information that I got when I requested to know how many ESE students we had gives us the picture of the number of individuals that the district actually serves. And some of that money, of course, like the adult ed, isn't funded through the EFP. But we serve a total of 19,161 individuals. And I think that's information that's important for our community to know, because that also has an expense to it administratively.
What was the date of this information?
I got this last month. I don't know.
Yeah, I want us to look at this together. But now one of it is homeschooling, which we have, there are 740. We don't serve them. There are 744 students.
Okay, so see, that's good to know, because there, some of those are ESE. And then the question is, what kind of ESE services are attached?
Now, the pre-K ESE would be in there. But,
So we can talk about this.
That would be good.
So this is what I thought would be good, to just have that general information about who's who. And then under academic...
Go ahead.
You know, I won't read it to you, but these are the items that I'm going to be requesting information for. And one of the questions that I had was in trying, because I was starting to look at this, and I spoke to Mr. Morrison, and because he's working on the CAFR, the CAFR is going to have the most recent data. So that's why I haven't even bothered to even try to figure out what to put in there, because the data isn't current. But something that I noticed that I wanted to ask about was looking at the current budget book. When you go to the current budget book, and on page 3 of the budget book, you have all the personnel allocation statistics. Those numbers do not match the numbers that were on the equity report that we received. And so that's just as an aside, but I think it'd be interesting to understand why the numbers, just in terms of instructional, we have 1,103 in the budget book, and in the equity report it says 1,130. And the number of administrators differs by 3 or 4, and those are all numbers that are, you know, significant because there are salaries, benefits, and services attached to them. So it's really difficult to figure out what the numbers are. So I'm going to need to work with someone that can help me get the information.
Karen.
So the babies, for instance, are a really good example of someone we serve that we don't account for, because even, you know, we get money into our account to take care of them. Mm-hmm. We spend about $4,000 a year to the daycares for a child, and yet they're not included in our account. So naturally, when the public does their easy math of, well, $15,000 into this,
right,
they come up with this very high figure because they're not accounting mm-hmm. for the dollars that are being spent on their child. And then I was going to ask you about homeschool kids. Don't you do some testing services?
If they request to have their child take FCAT, we provide that service for them at the school.
But we also have to allow them into some of our programs, such as our sports programs.
They could even take a class at high school if it's space available.
Right.
It's not that they
are
entitled to
them.
It, but
do you certify their diploma?
No.
That's all done. Yeah.
But yes, there is a cost to it, and it's a point well taken that we are providing some services to mm-hmm. some of these kids, and it's not as simple as $6,700 a student. There are some students who cost so much more, and
right.
they cost so much less, but they are all receiving some form of service for us, from us.
So I thought that was just interesting information to look at the bigger picture of what we do.
And I'd like to also mention that on any given day, the numbers are going to change. That's the dilemma that we face. Every single night, everything is updated. So there could be 10 more or 10 less students, you know what I mean? And so if you had some staff leave today, they don't get counted. So one of the things that we used to do is try and have some, we used to use the FTE times for dates certain. That's when those are our funding dates. Those are the students that are present when we get funded. So, you know, that would be October, February. We used to kind of look at those as times, because it is, the public used to question that all the time. You know, on this date you give us this information, and then it changes on another date. So we just want to be certain that we're all consistently looking at the same time frame.
I think that's good.
And then one other thing I would say is let's look together on the demographics, because this is the demographics of the public schools. It's not including all this other, because that's 14,000 students.
It doesn't have the charters.
Yeah.
So that's why
we're including them here, but
stop.
Not here. Yeah.
But you can, you know. Talk.
And then you'll look to us to provide information in this area. Okay.
So I'll just make an appointment to meet with you and figure out who does what.
Okay. Ms. Demchick? Mr. McCain? I have nothing else. Ms. Disney, you got anything else?
Nothing.
Okay. Ms. Jimenez?
Yeah, I'm just going to skip to the code of conduct update and timeline. Just wanted to get an update from the superintendent of where we're going with that.
We are basically going to look at the whole document anew, okay? They're starting with an October time frame, and Dr. Torres Martinez is working with Mr. Reinberg on a process, and we are actually collecting documents from other schools. She is collecting documents from some other school districts, and we're looking at those. And so we think the conversation was not, it was painful. You know, the other night, that was very painful, and we didn't do our due diligence to get the workshop out there, but there was some good that came out of it, because as we've all looked at it, we think there's refinement.
Mm-hmm.
So the process is going to begin in October with a complete a look at the entire document.
And what's going to happen? I know one of the things we talked about was the composition of the committee. What is being done?
She is going to be submitting to me, and I can get that to you, the composition of the committee, to make sure that it's representative of all age or all levels, and parents from all levels, students from the secondary schools. So once I have a better definition of what that competition could look like without names, I'll get those to you.
Okay.
But they are working on it. We spent time talking about it, you know, yesterday with Dr. Torres Martinez, and so.
So when you say you have an October time frame,
the goal of Mr. Reinberg and Dr. Torres Martinez is to start the process in October, to have the committee organized and begin to review the entire document starting in October.
More importantly, though, when will it be available for us to review?
Well, it's going to take time for them to do it. It probably, I was looking at it, we were talking about the time frame yesterday where we would have a workshop. You know, it won't be until after the first of the year for a workshop to review the entire document and before it ever has to go for a public hearing.
Well, I think that a goal of May or June that we see it, so there's still opportunity to...
We're thinking earlier than that.
Oh, good. Okay.
Earlier than that.
Thanks very much. Mr. McCain.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
not through. The best till last for me. If y'all would read this before you leave the board. I'm just showing you.
Not today.
We received a memorandum from Ms. Dee Gresta on August the 11th regarding an employee termination. The school board is determined that we were going to refer the matter to a Division of Administrative Hearings for DOA to do an evidentiary hearing and recommendation. This is backup, but I am going to share with you the information in the recommended order. And there is a recommendation on there. I just wanted you to have that. It is strongly suggested by our attorney, of course, that we know from where the recommended order came from. You're not a doctor yet.
I'm not. I'm never going to be a doctor, I'm afraid.
Would you move forward with this one?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. We're not quite ready for the board to delve into everything and schedule a time to take official action on it. The parties to this administrative hearing have until August 19 to file exceptions, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's be sure we have all of our information in front of us by August 19th. So by August 20th in the morning, I'll know if there's anything else that you need to take a look at. Essentially, the process will be if exceptions are filed, the board will be required to rule on each exception individually. So if that happens, I will provide you with some guidance as to how we deal with it. Once we've addressed any exceptions that are filed, the next step would be to then enter your final order. You have the recommended order from the administrative law judge. And it will be your obligation to decide now what do we do. You can enter a final order adopting this recommended order in its entirety. You do have some ability, some itty-bitty ability to change the factual findings. If you wish to change a factual finding, you must point to the big folder that Mrs. Johnson has. You must point to the page in that record that does not agree. You must actually say, this page in the record doesn't agree with this factual finding, so that's why I say we want to change the light was red, but this says it's green. So, I mean, that's the level of detail if you wish to change a factual finding. If you wish to change a conclusion of law made by the administrative law judge, we have a little more discretion since these are your board policies. these are your standards of conduct for employees, so we have a little more discretion there. But before we get there, before we jump in to the deep end, I wanted to wait to see if we had any exceptions filed, because sometimes those guide us in where the real issues are between the parties. So we will know that by the close of business on the 19th. So you can expect to hear from me the 20th and after. I will provide you with any exceptions that are filed so that you understand what we need to do. I'll give you a detailed memo, I'm afraid, of lots of legal talk about what we actually need to accomplish next. And we do have a deadline, if you will. The statute gives us 90 days to get all this work accomplished. Our deadline is November the 2nd, which is a Sunday, but no, I'm not going to ask you to work on a Sunday. I've just, you know, pushed back on the calendar, so by your last meeting in October, we will be done. I'm hoping to get it done much before that, but that is really our drop dead. We have to have something accomplished by our last meeting in October, so we don't have to schedule a special meeting, which really shouldn't be necessary. But you'll be hearing more from me. As Mrs. Johnson said, there is a large record for the hearing transcript, and all the exhibits are in that folder, which you will want to take a look at. I believe there's also a video in there that's a part of the record. But this at least gives you a snapshot of the main arguments, the facts, and the law as recommended by the administrative law judge. So I thought this would be a great place to at least start to kind of get yourself into it, and then we'll get more details of direction to you a little later this month.
And this folder is going to be available at our gatekeeper's office, in Ms. Stang's office. It's really quite a lot for us to even put on the board member access. It's just a lot, and it's going to be very time consuming. So this is available in Ms. Stang's office. I'm sure she'll be happy to let you check it out or whatever. Yes.
And I apologize. One thing that I did forget to tell you, when you make this decision, okay, you will be sitting in your quasi-judicial capacity. So please, when you're looking at this, if you have a question, please do not speak to the superintendent about it. Do not speak to the lawyer for the employee. If you have a question, please call me or email me or grab me in the hallway. Okay, so if you could just put questions for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we try and finish up our list, I would like to bring up one other issue. Usually we stop around 2:30, but we may have time for an extra issue if there's one that's burning. Well, you always prioritize, which I appreciate very much.
Maybe skip something.
We have a bill that came in, and this is not a decision of the chair. It does come to Dr. Adams and is then sent to the chairman to okay the payment. The Greater Florida Consortium of School Boards, the district dues are due for 2014-15. And in checking with Ms. Stang, we really don't have anybody who participates in that. So I wanted to bring it to the board. Yes?
Well, actually, we do participate at each of the FSBA meetings. They hold a meeting, and either Claudia or I attend
those
meetings.
Okay. All right.
And last year, I think no one was available to go to their meeting in Sarasota.
Sarasota.
No one was available to go.
Okay.
But we still participated in developing the platform by sending in issues for the platform. Okay. And then this year, are you going to West Palm for Carol Bills?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I knew that we did not participate. There was nobody available for the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And since I didn't go to FSBA in the fall of last year, and I do know this is important for us because this is, so you can see easily by the map, this is majority that represents the preponderance of the students in the state of Florida, but we do need an okay or a discussion as to whether or not to pay this. It's not at the prerogative of the chair, so I need to bring this forward. Okay, I'm assuming that's consensus.
Yes. So for your information, that consortium, the 11 coastal counties in the consortium make up more than half of the FTE in the state and just under half of the just under half of the FTE in the state and just over half of the tax base.
That's the part.
That makes sense.
Yes. What's the expenditure?
It's $3,000. There are most of the work that, well, they address all issues, but the big issue that they've addressed is CDC, the DCD. The DCD, which is one of the equalizers for the poor counties, to make sure that there's quality in education.
As for our the benefit of our audience, DCD stands for
District Cost
Differential.
Mr. McCain will meet with you afterwards. Go over the rest of the acronyms.
It's okay. Not the cost,
all right? Well, then I will move forward with this. We do have, you don't have anything on the agenda, do you?
No. Just remind everybody that we're going to have a quick meeting on Friday at 1 o'clock.
And Ms. Fernandez, you have one other item you said you'd like to have?
Yes, actually, I'm going to skip to 5. And today we talked a little bit about when we looked at the superintendent's goals, we learned that two of our schools are going to pilot the restorative justice program in their schools, and I just wondered if there were any board members who would be interested in requesting some information. It doesn't have to be a 3-hour workshop, but if we could get information about what, you know, we've talked about it a lot, just restorative justice, and it just would be good for us to know what exactly that entails.
Okay. Like a packet of information, just background information?
Just information, sure. So that we, okay. You know, and if needed, we could bring it up in a discussion session if we had questions, but it would just be good to get a little bit of information.
Okay.
Now, I'd kind of be interested in being on a business meeting agenda and discussion so that the community can hear the story of justice.
Dr. Adams?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe we
sure. Okay.
On the 26th?
On the 26th?
Okay.
Just at the beginning, a little intro as to what it is. You said the business meeting, right?
Yeah, the discussion portion of the meeting.
At the end of the meeting?
Got it.
Is there anything else to come before us before we go into committee reports? All right. Mr. McCain, what have you been up to?
Been up to stuff, but nothing. P&Zs and all that kind of stuff. Nobody doing anything that affects us.
Okay.
There's complaining.
I was working.
I had a lot canceled.
Oh. All right.
Sebastian and Fells moved to the break. So.
Those are always good emails to get.
I had juvenile justice was canceled for the summer, but they are meeting this Wednesday, so I will be going. I did attend a couple of other meetings that I'm not a liaison for, but that I thought would be worthwhile sharing with the school district. There was a meeting. The Mental Health Collaborative has, they hired a consultant to come in and look at the state of mental health in the county, and they formed different committees. And I serve on the Committee on Education and Stigma Prevention. And I think that it's really, because of all the issues we're seeing in our schools, especially at the elementary level, with increased behavior, emotionally disturbed students and more autism, kids identified with autism, that they are looking at stigma in general, but they are going to be focusing on children. And I think one of the reasons that I've been going to the meeting since the consultant got on board was to just be a voice for children and to keep saying, you always work on putting out fires, but if we're proactive and we figure out how to partner with the community as a school district to get services and support. So that I was just really pleased to see that they're listening and they're seeing the value to being proactive around children's issues. I went to the Connected for Kids meeting, and I'm hoping that for our next discussion, I will have a report for you on the survey that they did of our students with the help of the school district. We were able to survey our students who take life skills and take the HOPE class, and we were trying to answer the question, do we really live in Zero Beach? Because we keep hearing that there's nothing for our kids to do, and I think the results will surprise you, but we're working on a little narrative to attach to the survey, and so the committee is working on that, but I should have it for you at the next meeting, and we're very appreciative of all the support we got from the school district and the Substance Awareness Council, because their staff helped compile all of the data that we got from the children, from the students. And then Ms. Johnson and I at the health department meeting around their priorities from their community health improvement plan, and we listened to the part on their second priority, which is teen pregnancy prevention and HIV/AIDS education, and it was a very informative session, and again looking to see how the community and the school district can partner to help kids to make healthy decisions that will not, you know, impede their success as students. So that was just an organizational introductory meeting. So it's been busy.
And I would like to say, as a follow-up to that meeting, I thought it was very interesting that when we talk about our children are smarter because of technology, I thought it was very interesting that they came forward with they have partial funding for the theater, for the theaters, to do some awareness as to teen pregnancies and HIV, and they are partnering with 211 for as a follow-up. So they're going to give some general, just those little blurbs before movies start, and then the resource will be calling 211. And I thought that was brilliant. I really did. I thought it was a wonderful proposal. Mm-hmm. And you can hand out all you want, the wonderful, wonderful handouts to kids, but if it's not on Facebook, Twitter, or in the movie theater, they just are not going to have an awareness. And I thought this was handling it the way our children today interact and where their resources for information comes from. So it was an excellent meeting. I will echo that. It was an excellent, excellent meeting. Some trends are definitely down, which was good news. But they actually are down across the board, across the state, so as far as teen pregnancies.
And
so,
Carol, if I could add, and you know, that meeting was an example of how it's important to bring people to the table, because the group that's doing this is the Healthy Start Coalition, and they had already planned to do this for their own services. And so that's the beauty of bringing people to the table. We have this issue. We don't have to tackle it. We don't have to spend our resources, because somebody else in the community was at the table and they're tackling that same issue. So they're going to do it, and we don't have to, you know, make it ours. But that's what collaboration is.
And I think
about.
There was also a staff member present as well.
Right? Dr. Martinez was there, and actually she suggested, who was it she suggested? Attend those meetings, because she deals with teen pregnancies.
Ms. Hedgecock.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it was very well done. And I will tell you, the 211, the 211 is a service of the United Way board, and I thought it was very interesting that the 211, just the day before we had this meeting, that we got their report, and that was very interesting. The only thing with 211, and I did make the suggestion, because when they look and talk about referrals, well, the referrals are age 18 to like 64. I mean, it is a huge range, and they need to narrow it down a little bit as far as the demographics they're serving, because it really is a very skewed number, and especially when you look at some of the focus on what they're doing. So.
Oh, and I forgot to mention Connected for Kids
already.
Bless you.
The resource guide again.
Wonderful. We got
very
the funds
nice.
From
that
the United
really
Way.
Good.
And we got, you know, again, collaboration. I heard from Mr. McCarty, because I asked people that use this if they had any feedback, and Mr. McCarty pointed out that we didn't have our summer food program in here. And so I kept that little email, and when the committee met, I said, here's some feedback. And so we've been able to include that. So that this is something that's free, and it's another community collaboration.
I thought you were going to mention you went to that autistic workshop.
Oh, on, yes.
Because she was telling me that she went, and actually one of our EPs was there as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm sharing information with Dr. Mark Fiorentino as well, because that's one of the areas that we struggle to get teachers is in the area of autism. It's a growing area, but we don't... Mm-hmm. We find difficulty in getting those teachers that have had some experience with that.
Ms. Disney?
So the MPO continues, the agenda continues to focus on all of Florida. Mm-hmm. And although that, you know, that project appears to be going forward, and that's, you know, where it's at. But they also were renewed. They have to send in a report every year, and it was renewed. And, actually, was given some compliments on the makeup and the way the meetings are conducted. Also, Value Adjustment Board was yesterday. Who's my alternate for that?
I thought I was your alternate.
Okay. And we did our organizational meeting, and Tim Zork is now the chairman, and Wesley Davis is the vice chair. By the bylaws of that committee, it's a commissioner. And we have a new attorney, a young woman who is from Sebastian, yes. And we voted on the magistrates that we'll be using, and they're expecting it to be a busy year. Mm-hmm. That's what the property values have been increased. Mm-hmm. So they have not set the long meetings going forward yet, but that was our organizational meeting. And Mr. Weiss, who has served us on some committees, is a community member.
Okay, that's it. Anything else? Dr. Adams? Board Attorney?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you all very much. Okay, it's been a good meeting.
Perfect.
Adjourned.
6 o'clock.
And Mr. Fritz came in just so he could get his piece of cake.
Do you remember our name?